Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to all those with us tonight. Pull up a chair and let us study the word of Yahweh. Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your blessed throne and thank you for another week of life. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. And we thank you, Father, for your word that guides us each and every day of our life. We thank you for your Shabbat, Father, that is here, and we thank you for allowing us to enter your rest. We pray, Father, for your Ruach to guide and lead as we study your word. And we pray, Father, for the times we're living in to be accounted worthy to be able to escape the things that are coming. We thank you for all things and give you praise in the name and by the authority of your Son and our Savior, Yeshua Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, I am not going to go into any world news tonight because I have a lot of information to go over here. And basically the whole study is kind of world news. So when you're looking at the situation that's happening now, we are, and I was saying this before, I just had a feeling the last few months that 2026 was going to be kind of like a turning year. You know, year, you know, like a joining year that is moving into something else in prophecy. And wow, after the Davos meeting that they had the other week, you really see that the global order is in a frenzy right now, where the strongest nations in the world, China, Russia, you know, America, vying for power, for leadership, you know, and everyone pretty much knows the old global order is pretty much failed, and they're, you know, putting it into a new global order now. And things are changing. Things are changing very fast, and where things will be going. And like I said, as I speak, you know, today, one of the biggest American warships just landed in Eilat, and they are getting ready. I just believe one way or another they are going to attack Iran. I think that I don't see how Netanyahu, this is everything that he lives for the last 40 years, what he's been saying with Iran, and now to have President Trump in there that basically will do almost anything he says with the drop of a dime. And Israel has never had this kind of backing from America before, and I just don't see them backing off of this. So as we're moving along, the study we're going to be going in tonight is who is the anti-Messiah. So I believe what's happening now will be setting up for that, for the anti-Messiah to come. I've had people write me over the last year, and even in the past, some people thinking that President Trump was the anti-Messiah. And although, to be honest, he does fit some of the bill, and what he is doing now, some of the things he's doing is could, but he's definitely not the anti-Messiah, as we'll see as we get into this study here, and we'll talk a little bit more about him at the end of the study. So, number one, what people think of anti-Messiah, a lot of it has to do with a lot of the false Christian movies and, you know, the guy coming with the red eyes and doing this stuff. And you really don't see that in Scripture, you know. In Scripture, a matter of fact, where I'm going to start in 1 John 2 and verse 18, that first of all, it talks about the spirit of anti-Messiah. So it's a spirit to begin with. Besides, there will be a physical being. We'll talk about that in a little bit, you know, that is going to control the world empire and the fourth beast and going to be controlling it. But most of what the New Testament talks about with anti-Messiah is really the spirit of anti-Messiah. 1 John 2 and verse 18 says, little children, it is a last hour. So we see this. We see this in Scripture in the New Testament that the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle John all thought that, you know, Yeshua was returning in their time frame, which didn't happen. But we see again here, little children, is the last hour, and as you heard, that anti-Messiah is coming. Even now, many anti-Messiahs have risen up, from which you know that it is a last hour. So remember, when you, like I said, when you see these movies and you see this guy coming, you know, the anti-Messiah, people think that the anti-Messiah is against Messiah. You know, it's this battle of good and evil. And the word anti literally means in the place of. So it's not that the anti-Messiah is against the Messiah. The anti-Messiah is taking the place of Messiah. So when you see little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that anti-Messiah is coming. Even now many anti-Messiahs have risen up, from which you know it is the last hour. What is he talking about? He's talking about false people who join the congregation. They bring in false doctrine because they're changing the doctrine of Messiah into anti-Messiah, instead of Messiah's doctrine. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would have remained with us. But they left so it might be revealed that they are not of us. So, very simple, you know, Yahweh separating the wheat from the chaff. And why? You know, like I said, I can understand many people start from anywhere. You could start as a Catholic. You could be a Jehovah Witness. You could be a Mormon. You could be a Presbyterian. You could be anything. And, you know, I've heard people tell me their testimonies. You know, and I went from being a Catholic to being a Jehovah Witness, and then I went to this, and now I find the truth. But once you get to Mount Zion, where do you go from there? There's nowhere to go, you know? There's nowhere to go but falling off the mountain. And like it says here, the spirit of anti-Messiah, people that have come, and that's why I said, not everybody sitting in the chair next to you, you know, don't always assume that they are a brother or a sister, because you do have false brethren coming in. But how do you know it? Because they are anti-Messiah. They come in, they try to bring a different message. You know, Yeshua took 2.5 years to train his disciples, right? And to train the apostles in doctrine. If he only came to die for our sins, he would have only had to be on the earth 3 days and 3 nights. But he came for several years to train them, to give the doctrine. And that's why he anointed, he ordained, you know, the 12 who ordained others who ordained others. And like I said, from my book, The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail Against Her, clearly shows that that line of succession has never failed in 2,000 years. So I had hands laid on me. I've laid hands on other people, and the hands that were laid on me were laid on from someone else, going all the way back to Yeshua and the apostles. So people that come in and they don't want to believe that, and they want to bring their own doctrine, they want to, you know, go their own way, and then finally they wind up leaving or being put out, but most of the time they leave because they can't be around the truth. And this is what it says. They're called the anti-Messiah. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I did not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because every lie is not of the truth. Who is a liar except the one denying that Yeshua is the Messiah? This is anti-Messiah, the one denying the Father and the Son. We have people with the oneness doctrine saying that Yeshua is Yahweh, denying that there's a Father and a Son. Again, it's a false doctrine, and it is the anti-Messiah, like he says. Everyone denying the Son does not have the Father. The one confessing the Son also has the Father. So this is anti-Messiah, the one denying the Father and the Son. So we see that anti-Messiah is a spirit. It's a spirit that goes against the doctrine of Yeshua. John was the last good news message. He wrote this about 95 AD. And at this time, there was a lot of false doctrines that were coming in from the Universal Church, from the Catholic Church. Gnosticism, there was a lot of Gnostic beliefs that were being brought in. And let's go now to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. 1 through 6, he says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from Elohim. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world. The spirit of Elohim is known by this. Every spirit which confesses that Yeshua Messiah has come in the flesh is from Yahweh. And every spirit which does not confess that Yeshua Messiah has come in the flesh is not from Elohim. And this is the anti-Messiah which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. Why? Because these Gnostics said, no, you know, the Messiah could never be, you know, born fleshly, you know, that he be a human being, and they were denying that, and that's why he's saying this. And it's called, again, anti-Messiah. Little children, you are of Elohim and have overcome them, because that in you is greater than he that is in the world. And we always got to remember this. We have the Ruach. We have the Spirit of Yahweh. And like Scripture says, Yahweh's Spirit can't deny itself. So that's why people, once you come into Yeshua's congregation, you would never leave Yeshua's congregation. Why would you? You know, what would be the purpose of leaving his congregation unless you have the Spirit of Anti-Messiah? So he's saying the Spirit in us is greater than the Spirit in the world. They are of the world because of this. They speak of the world and the world hears them. We are of Elohim. The one knowing Elohim hears us. Whoever is not of Elohim does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wow. I mean, that's pretty simple. You don't have to go that far. He's literally saying the ones who don't listen, the ones who don't follow judicial order, the ones who don't want to have any leadership in their life that's set by Yeshua himself is the spirit of anti-Messiah. So how do we know the spirit of anti-Messiah? It's by what they teach and what they believe. And like I said, the anti-Messiah doesn't mean they're against Messiah. They put things in the place of Messiah. It's the Laodicean era, and the Laodicean attitude is 100% anti-Messiah. False grace, you know, the whole false grace, selfish ambitions against leaders that Yahweh chose, going against or going in the place of, in the place of. 2 John 1:7, 2 John 1:7. Says, because many deceivers went out into the world, those not confessing Yeshua Messiah to have come in the flesh, such a person is a deceiver and anti-Messiah. So again, we see the same thing, right? Those denying that Yeshua was even born, like in Israel, some of the Orthodox, you know, when they say, you know, if he even existed, and just as a matter of fact, as a historical person, it's ridiculous to say that. Because there is not a human being born on this planet that has had more things written about him than Yeshua and historical records. So he definitely, you know, whether you believe him or not, that's your business. But whether he actually existed is just a fact of history. So, but there are some that deny that. Yet there will be a real person or spirit in the end who unites world leaders into a one world order. Like I said, right now it's stalled to a certain degree for various reasons I'm not going to get into tonight. And President Trump has taken advantage of that to bring his own order. And he is trying to dictate that order, and he's trying to become the leader of that order, even making his own peace initiative now and backing America out of I forget how many United Nations you know, charters that they have that he's backed America out of. Most likely this is going to bring World War III. It's almost certain when that will happen. Only Yahweh knows, but I don't think it's that far. And the rise of the anti-Messiah. So that's why I think what's happening now is extremely important, because we have not had someone like President Trump who has the arrogance and has the pride and actually the power to try to unite everything under himself. So most of these leaders that were out there before, you know, when you look over the last 20, 30 years since George Bush the First talked about at the UN for the first time about this new world order, you know, and talked about what it is, you really haven't had any leader in the world, including American presidents, that really were strong enough to unite. Bill Clinton was actually one that was pretty strong. And he did bring the Oslo Accords in Israel and came close to, you know, fulfilling that if it wasn't for Yasser Arafat. But you really haven't had somebody like Trump, like a dictator type with the power and just, you know, threatening and doing and, you know, like just insane things. And I believe from this and from the war that's coming, there'll be other world leaders now that are actually part of it, because Trump really isn't even part of that inner circle of the global elite that will and will take over. And as we're going to see, it's not only a human being, but it's going to be demonic from Satan. So Daniel 2, let's go to the book of Daniel, because let's look now and see about the physical person, not the spirit of anti-Messiah, as we've been talking about here. But what the Bible says about this person who will unite these world leaders and, you know, unfortunately be very bad for against believers too. Daniel 2, and starting in verse 31. And this is talking about the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, right? And he says, "You, O king, were seeing, and behold, a certain great image. That great image stood before you with a brilliant brightness, and its form is terrifying. The head of this image was of fine gold, right? And its breast and its arms were of silver, its belly and its thighs were of copper, and its legs were of iron, its feet were partly iron and partly clay. You continued until a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet in iron clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the copper, the silver, the gold were together crushed to pieces," right? So it's showing this is not successive empires that are going to come one after the other, but they're all there at the same time, right? And then they'll be destroyed as we're seeing here. Were crushed in pieces. They became as chaff at the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that no place was found for them. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain, right? And filled the whole earth. So mountains are kingdoms, you know, it shows greatness. "This is the dream, and we will tell you the meaning of it before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings, for the Allah of heaven has given you the kingdom, the power and the strength and the honor. And wherever the sons of men, the animals of the field, and the birds of the sky dwell, he has given them into your hand, and he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold." This is Babylon, right? So, just like back here, Babylon was the world leader. They were the ones basically running the world. We see it today. End time Babylon USA is the world leader. I don't know how anybody could sit there with a straight face if we're using the Bible as our only guide and not see that America is Babylon. I mean, maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, you could have brought some other things up. But now, when you're looking at who Babylon is, the world leader, the one who's running everything, the world economic power, the military power, you know, and all the things, there's just, and that's for, you know, I've done many studies on that. Well, I'm sure we'll do again. But Babylon is the head of gold. And I think it's really interesting and ironic that since President Trump has got in there this second term, right, what has he done in the White House? He's made everything of gold. He's put gold on everything, and gold is going up pretty high. It hit $5,000 an ounce this week. So what that's costing to put all that gold all over the White House, wow. But that's why President Trump cannot be the anti-Messiah. The anti-Messiah is not the king of Babylon. The anti-Messiah will be the world leader. And we know that Babylon rides the beast, right? Babylon set up the beast, but the beast is going to destroy her. And that's something that, like I said, Yahweh knows the times and the seasons, but it very well could happen during President Trump's second term here. It sure would be fitting. You know, and again, like I said, I'm not predicting anything, but I'm saying, boy, would it be fitting if it worked that way. So Babylon is the head of gold. And like I said, Trump made everything gold. After Babylon falls, the anti-Messiah will rise from the ashes of the war that's coming, and he'll bring in a weakened world government, right? We're going to go from gold to silver to copper to iron. What is that telling you? It's telling you that economically, things are going to get really, really bad. You know, Babylon is the world economic power. You know, that's why everything with Babylon is pleasure-seeking and buying and, you know, all these phones, iPhones, and computers, and all this other stuff that's going on. But all that is going to be coming to a screeching halt when this war comes and what comes out of there. And like I said, the world leader who's pulling all this together will be going from gold to silver to bronze to iron. So we're seeing how it is going to be, you know, even when you see the horsemen of the apocalypse after the war, you see the famine and then the death that's going to come from there. So, this anti-Messiah is going to take over a weakened world government that will terrorize the earth, persecute believers, but will be destroyed as Yeshua's coming, like we just read there. Daniel 2 and verse 39. Let's go to verse 39 now, to verse 45. It says, "And in your place shall rise another kingdom lower than yours, and another third kingdom of copper, which shall rule in all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, as much as iron crushes and smashes all things. And as the iron that shatters all these, it will crush and shatter. And as it was that, and as to that you saw, the feet and the toes were partly of potter's clay and partly of iron. The kingdom will be divided. There will be in its strength of iron, because you saw the iron mixed with the clay of the potter. And as the toes and the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly fragile, right? So this, after this war, it's not going to be a good time. In as if you read Daniel 11, and what's going to happen, you know, there's going to be different fights and different alliances and different things going on, but it will be very fragile. And as you saw the iron mixed with the clay, they shall be mixed with the seed of men, but they shall not adhere to one another, even as iron does not mix with clay. And this is where the AI is going to come into too, right? The transhumanism of making machines that are going to be part human and part machine. And in the days of these kings, right, so it's during this time, the Elohim of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall crush in pieces and make an end to all these kingdoms, and shall stand forever. Because you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke the iron, the copper, the clay, the silver, and the gold in pieces. The great Elohim has made known to the king what shall occur after this. And the dream is certain, and the meaning of it is trustworthy. And here we are. You know, we're not in the beginning of this. You know, we're at the very end of this. You know, we're 80 years into it. And Yeshua said this will all happen in one generation, right? We know from Psalm 102, the generation of Jews that went into the Holocaust will be the same generation that sees Messiah return. And there ain't many left from there that went through there. So we are, you know, getting close to all these things coming about. And I do believe, like I said, with President Trump shaking up and turning this world order and really trying to, push and punish and change leaders and countries now, starting to attack countries and take over, war cannot be that far behind. Daniel 7 talks about the same thing. He says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head on his bed. Then he related the dream, giving the sum of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, in my vision by night I was looking, and behold, the four winds of the heavens were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, right? United States and Britain alliance that has been going on ever since America started to be a country, you know. So we see this, the lion is Great Britain, the eagle is U.S. So you see the lion that had eagle's wings, and I watched until its wings were torn off. So showing about America going down. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast is second like a bear. Russia is the bear. And it was established on one side with 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And they said to it, rise up, eat much flesh. And while I was looking, behold, another like a leopard, you know. And the leopard for France. And we know like in the city where they met, you know, at the end of World War II. And they made the peace treaty, where Versailles maybe it was, the actual flag of that city is the leopard. So the leopard is France, and it were 4 wings of a bird on its side, and also to the beast were 4 leaders, and rulership was given to it. So it could be other European leaders with them. And after this I was looking in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast was frightening and terrifying and exceedingly strong, and to it were huge iron teeth that devoured and crushed and stamped what was left with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. So, interesting enough, we see that, the Security Council, you know, has these there. And I believe this is talking about United Nations, the way it was set up. You know, you have 7 heads to it. And this is what it talks about in Revelation, 7 heads and 10 horns. 5 permanent members on the council, a secretary general and a rotating president. And then you have 10 horns, and you have 10 rotating countries, you know, every year that switch, or every year or 2 years, I forget what it was, but that switch. And I believe that's what it's talking about, and we're seeing that here. But now, once this war comes and it is, you know, there's going to be changing over, this beast that's going to come out of it, you know, that's going to heal the deadly wound of this global government, it's going to be awful, as we see here, you know. So this beast is horrible, and it's going to be dictatorial. It's not going to be fun at that time. And, you know, it's going to be a tough time to get through that. Verse 8 says, I was thinking about the horns, and behold, another little horn. This is the Anti-Messiah now. Came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted. You know, is that America, Britain, and France? Maybe, who knows? We'll see. And behold, this in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking domineering things. So this is the little horn. This is the Anti-Messiah who's going to rise from this. Verse 23, 25, and he says, and he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom of the earth, which shall be different from the all the kingdoms, and shall devour all the earth, and shall trample it down and crush it. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings. They shall rise, and another shall rise after them. And they will be different from the first, and he shall humble three kings. And he will speak commands against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And he intends to change times and law, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and half a time. So we see that this is speaking for about 3.5 years. Revelation 13 says it's given 42 months to rule this beast. The key is when that officially starts. You know, will we know it, or will we already be into it once it's started there? So we see here, you know, that times are going to be changed, and it's going to be a very, very tough time during that time. Mark 13 and verse 22. Mark 13 and verse 22. Because also, as we're seeing, a lot of false prophets and people coming up with all kinds of crazy stuff. It says, for false messiahs and false prophets will be raised, and they will give signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And that's why we got to be careful, and that's why we want to stay off the internet, and we want to be in, have our noses in the Bible. We don't want to be surfing all this crazy stuff and conspiracy theories, because you might think you're getting the truth with a lot of this conspiracy stuff, and some of it is true, but some of it isn't. And once you get into a lot of those crazy conspiracy websites and stuff, there's no way for you to know. And the only way to know for sure is to keep your eyes in the Bible and on the Bible. So we see this already. False prophets will appear, as we're already seeing. Let's go to Revelation 13 now. This Revelation 13 kind of parallels what we're reading here in Daniel. Revelation 13, and I'm going to read, start here, 1 through 9. It says, and I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, like I was just talking about. And on his horns, 10 crowns, right? So these are countries, world leaders. And on its heads, names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like the feet of a bear. Its mouth was like the lion's mouth, right? We don't see the eagle's wings anymore. And the dragon, China, the dragon gave its power to it. Of course, this dragon is Satan, but China's also, their symbol is the dragon. But of course, this is talking about Satan. The dragon gave its power to it, and its throne, and its great authority. But although China will be a big player in this, you know, the kings of the East coming. So in one way, you know, yes, we of course we know the dragon here is Satan, but also I do believe it's also symbolically talking about China. And I saw one of its heads as having been slain to death, and its deadly wound was healed, and all the earth wondered after the beast. So is that Babylon's fall, the deadly wound? We will see, but it's a good chance. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with it, right? So are people fighting this world government? No, they're going along with it. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies were given to it, and authority was given to it to act 42 months, like we just saw, 3.5 years. And it opened its mouth in blasphemy toward Yahweh, to blaspheme his name, right? His name important, of course. And this beast power is blaspheming Yahweh's name and his dwelling place and those dwelling in heaven. And it was given to it to make war with the saints and overcome them. So this is where the fifth seal, the great martyrdom, is coming about. And we're already starting to see a lot of persecution in a lot of places around the world right now. And authority was given to it over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. Sometimes people say, where does it ever say there's world government? Right there. Right there. And all those dwelling in the earth will worship him, those of whom the names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So I pray as you're listening, you have ears to hear, and you understand that this world government is being set up as I speak. And like I said, this meeting they had in Davos, I believe, was a big meeting, important meeting for what's coming this year and what's coming next year. And of course, the big plan is the 2030. They want everything finished and done by 2030 and possibly before that. You know, there's a lot of things even saying by 2028. So, meaningly, you know, controlling the world, doing all the things, the cashless society, everything, a lot of different things that they're talking about. Okay, let's drop down to verse 11. And it says, and I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon, right? So this is a false prophet. And it makes all the authority of the first beast before, executes all the authority of the first beast before it. And it causes that the earth and those dwelling in it should worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed, right? So I've said in a symbolic way, you know, the internet is really a false prophet. I do believe there'll be a person that will be a religious leader that will be pushing this. But when you look at it one in a symbolic way, the internet is also doing this job, and the internet is causing, you know, brainwashing people, and the beast power is using the internet to get people to, you know, follow and believe whatever they want you to believe, just like we saw with COVID. And he performed great signs, even so as to make fire come down from heaven upon the earth before men. So we see that the anti-Messiah and the false prophet will be doing miracles and signs because it's demon-related. And he receives those dwelling on the earth because of the signs which were given to do before the beast, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make an image to the beast who has the wound or the sword and lived. This is probably with AI. And it was given to it to put life into the image of the beast. This certainly could be AI. So that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free man and the slaves, it causes that they give them a mark on the right hand and on their foreheads. Even that any could not buy or sell except the one having the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. And here we are. Cashless society is being all set up. The digital IDs. I mean, everything is moving forward very, very fast. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding compute the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. Its number is 666. And like I said, 3 is a number of unity. 6 is number of man. So 666 is man unified against Yahweh. Let's go back to Daniel 8. Let's go back to Daniel 8 now. Daniel 8 and verse 9. Talking again about the anti-Messiah. He says, and out of one of them came a little horn, which became very great toward the south and toward the east and toward the bountiful land. So, right, not toward the west, but toward the south and the east and the bountiful land, which is Israel. And it became great even to the host of the heavens, and it caused some of the hosts of the stars to fall to the ground and trample them. Right? So this is talking about when Satan's having the war in heaven. You know, we'll go into that. Yea, he magnified himself even to the leader of the host. Wow, Yeshua himself. And the continual sacrifice was taken away by him, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Well, what is the continual sacrifice? It's Yeshua's sacrifice. Like we read in Hebrews 10, it is in perpetuity, it's ongoing. And that's why, you know, anybody at any time, it doesn't matter how bad they were, it doesn't matter if they were a murderer in prison, they could always repent and turn to Yahweh and have their sins forgiven. But at this time, that's being taken away. Yahweh's grace is taken from the earth, and wow, that's why you can picture why it will be the worst time the world has ever known and ever will know. And a massive army was given him against the continual sacrifice because of sin, and it threw the truth down to the ground, and it worked and pushed forward. Wow. Then I heard a certain holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that one who spoke, until when is the vision, the continual sacrifice, and the devastating rebellious revolt to give both the sanctuary and the massive crowd to be trampled? This is the war in heaven. And he said to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary will be made righteous, right? 1,150 days. That's two a day, coming to 2,300. If you drop down to verse 23, it says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the apostasy has been complete, a king strong of face and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wondrously, and he shall prosper and work and destroy the powerful and the holy people. And also through his policy, he will make deceit succeed in his land, and he will lift himself up in his heart, and by peace he will destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be shattered without a hand. Right? So just like President Trump is doing now, making false peace deals, trying to make it sound like there's peace there when it's not, you know, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes, and this is what's going to happen. After this great world war, where probably a billion people in the world are going to die, he's going to make a false peace that's not going to be a lasting peace, right? And many are going to be destroyed through that and by that. And like I said, Daniel, this is also talking about, you know, like I said, AI and the transhumanism. Daniel 2 and verse 43. Daniel 2 and verse 43. It says, and as you saw the iron mixed with the clay of the clay, they shall be mixed with the seed of men. They shall not adhere to one another, even as iron does not mix with clay. Wow. So here we are. You're talking about, like I said, transhumanism, AI, the mixing of man with machine that will be there. Daniel 11, 36 through 39. Daniel 11, 36 through 39. And there will be continual war after that. You know, he says, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt and magnify himself above every El. He shall even speak marvelous things against the El of Elohim, and shall prosper until the fury is completed, for that which is decreed shall be done. He shall not regard the Elohim of his fathers, nor the desire of women. He's going to be homosexual. Yea, he will not come to any Elohim, for he will magnify himself above all. He's making himself into an Elohim, like we're going to read in Thessalonians. But in his place he will honor the Elohim of forces, you know, nature worship. And he shall honor an Elohim whom his fathers did not know, with gold and silver and with precious stones and desirable things. And he will act in the strongholds of the fortresses with a foreign Eloah. You know, maybe he'll even be worshiping Allah, who he shall acknowledge. He shall increase in glory and shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for a price. So you don't have to really imagine too much, because actually, since they've been trying to do this one world religion for the last, you know, 35 years or so, you've seen the Pope come out and go inside of mosques. And you've seen the Pope say there's more than one way to salvation, you know, and have the Pope recognize Allah in Islam. So the same thing is going to happen over here, you know, that there'll be war, constant power struggles, and also false worship. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. That's what I was talking about. This anti-Messiah will be making himself into an Elohim and doing lying signs and wonders. You know, like I said, President Trump may have power because he's the president of the strongest country in the world right now, but he is not doing any kind of miracles or anything, or has no power to do that. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. He says, do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day, the day of Yahweh, will not come unless first there comes a great falling away, a great rebellion, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, right? The one opposing and exalting himself over everything, being called Elohim or object of reverence, so as for him to sit in the sanctuary of Elohim as an El, and he sets himself forth as if he is Elohim. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was with you? And now you know what has prevented him from being revealed in his time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already working until he who is now the obstacle is taking out of the way. That's the grace of through Yeshua. And then the lawless one will be exposed, whom our master Yeshua will consume by the spirit of his mouth. He will destroy by the brightness of his presence. His coming is due to the working of Satan in all power and miraculous signs and lying wonders, and in all deceit of unrighteousness in those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. So what's happening here? Because they did not have the love of the truth. And that's what we were saying. The spirit of anti-Messiah is the spirit of false doctrine, right? Of we have to love the truth and we have to hold on to the truth. And because of this, Elohim will send to them a working of deception for them to believe the lie, that those not believing in the truth but who have delighted in unrighteousness all may be damned. But we ought to thank Elohim always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Yahweh, because Elohim chose you from the beginning to salvation. How? In sanctification of the Spirit and through a true faith. So this is the anti-Messiah. The falling away is already happening. Man of sin not revealed yet, but he's going to exalt himself, do all kinds of lying signs and wonders. Revelation 12 in verse 7. It says, and war occurred in heaven, Michael and his cherubs making war against the dragon, and the dragon and his cherubs made war. But they did not have strength, nor was there yet place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent being called the devil and Satan, he deceiving the whole inhabitable world, was cast out onto the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him, his demons, right? And I heard a great voice in heaven which said, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the dominion of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brethren is cast out, the one who accuses them day and night before our Elohim. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their soul even until death. And again, the fifth seal. Because of this, be glad, the heavens and those dwelling in them. Woe to the ones dwelling on the earth and in the sea, because the devil came down to you having great anger, knowing that his time is short. So here we are, you know, we're at this spot. And what also happens when Satan is cast to the earth, he's got the key to the abyss and he's going to open that up. We're going to go to Revelation 9. And it says, and the fifth cherub trumpeted, and I saw a star out of the heaven falling to the earth, and the key to the pit of the abyss was given to it. And he opened the pit of the abyss, right? So stars are cherubs, in this case, maybe a fallen cherub, we don't know. And smoke went up out of the pit, like smoke of a great furnace. And the sun was darkened in the air by the smoke of the pit, and out of the smoke, locusts came forth to the earth. And authority was given to them. The scorpions of the earth have authority, as the scorpions of the earth have authority. And it was said to them that they should not harm the grass of the earth, nor every green thing, nor every tree, except only the men who do not have the seal of Yahweh on their foreheads, right? So Satan has his mark in the hands and in the forehead, right? With his QR code and all the other stuff that's coming. But Yahweh has his mark through his spirit and his word, and you can't have both. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment is as the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death, and they will not find it, and they will long to die, but death will flee from them. And the likeness of the locusts were like horses having been prepared for war. And they had crowns on their heads like gold, and their faces were like faces of men. And their hair was like the hair of women, and their teeth were like those of lions. Right? Oh, horrible demon-looking things. And they had breastplates like iron breastplates, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running to war. And they have tails like scorpions, and their stings were in their tails, and their authority is to harm men 5 months. And Joel, you also see this in Joel 1. I'm not going to go there tonight, though. And they have a king over them, the messenger of the abyss. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, and in Aramaic, he has the name Breaker. Right? Wow. So this is the opening of the abyss, and this is why I'm saying, you know, it's not going to be a human being that is going to be, you know, controlling things in the head of this world empire. It's literally going to be demon and Satan ruled. Daniel 11, back to Daniel 11 now. Back to Daniel 11. And verse 40 and 41. Because it's very interesting as all this is happening, right? And, you know, the anti-messiah is here and all these things are going on. I didn't read the rest of that chapter, but we know, I've read it many times, Yahweh's remnant flees to the wilderness. And look at Daniel 11, the one place that is not being attacked at this time. Daniel 11, verse 40, and at the end, the king of the south will engage in budding with him, and the king of the north will come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall go into the lands and shall overflow and pass over. And he shall enter into the glorious land, into Israel, and many will be stumbled, but these will escape out of his hand. So who is the anti-messiah not going to be attacking at this time? Edom, Moab, and the chief of the sons of Ammon. Jordan. Interesting enough, right? And we know from Song of Solomon 2:14, where is the remnant? The remnant is there in Selah. That's where the remnant is being taken to. In the stronghold, the refuge of Selah is where it's at. So, interesting that Jordan, you know, later Jordan is attacked at the end, but here, during this time, Jordan is protected, and that's where Yahweh says, you know, his remnant will be. Daniel 7 in verse 22. Daniel 7 in verse 22. It says, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So as horrible as a time it's going to be, it's a short time. We got to get through it. And after that, the kingdom is given to the saints. Verse 26 and 27 says, but the court shall sit, and they shall take away his rulership to exterminate and to destroy until the end. And the kingdom and rulership and the greatness of the kingdom under all the heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the kingdoms shall serve and obey him. So do you want to live for commercial Babylon now that's going to be destroyed in this world, which is timed and temporary? Or do you want to live for that everlasting kingdom? You know, do you want to rule with Yeshua forever, forever and ever and ever? Well, there'll be no more time, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more death. And that's the choice we have to make. Are we going to work for him now and be ambassadors for the kingdom of Yahweh? Or are you part of commercial Babylon and the system of Satan? So do we see that the kingdom of commercial Babylon set up by Satan is evil, oppressive, and will lead to Satan coming to earth to try to destroy the kingdom of Yahweh? That's his whole purpose when he comes. So as bad as things are now, we haven't seen anything yet. It's mostly bad with immorality and, you know, things like that. But once this world war comes and once the beast power takes over, it's just going to be sinister. There'll be, you know, no caring for life or people or whatever. It's just going to be a sinister time. So President Trump is the head of gold, right? He is the head of gold. He's the king of Babylon. And due to his pride, he is the patsy that Satan will use to bring about the fourth beast kingdom. So Daniel 4, let's go into a little bit here before we end about President Trump, because he's not the beast power, but I believe why it's important that he is there now doing what will bring about the beast power. So because of his pride and now thinking he's going to take the world over, he will be the patsy that Satan is going to use to bring about this fourth beast power. So Daniel 4 verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all the people, the nations, and the languages that dwell in all the earth, may your peace be increased. So this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. Very interesting. This is the only chapter of the entire Bible that's written by a pagan king. drop down to verse 10 and 11. And he says, as to the visions of my head on my bed, I was looking, and behold, a tree was in the middle of the earth, and its height was great. The tree became great and strong, and its height reached to the heavens, and its appearance to the end of all the earth. Right? So what is this tree? He's going to tell us, go down to verse 20. The tree that you saw, which became great and strong, whose height reached to the heaven, and its appearance to all the earth, and its leaves being beautiful, and its fruit plentiful, and food for all being in it, under which the beasts of the field live, and its branches, the birds of the sky, had their home. It was you, O king, for you have become great and strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the sky, and your rule is to the end of the earth, right? Babylon is ruling the world. And like the tree that's symbolic here, a good green tree with food and fruit during this time, although yes, is there famines that go out? Is there food shortages at time? Of course, but nothing like what's coming. Absolutely nothing. And in all fairness, for you know the last 70, 80 years, America has done a lot with giving food around the world, you know, and the United Nations, of course, you know, with the United Nations programs. So that's what he's saying, that Babylon, you know, is that great tree, and that's appearance reaches all throughout the earth, and people are being fed and people are being taken care of because of it. And as the king saw a guarding cherub and a holy one coming down from the heavens and saying, cut the tree down and destroy it, right? Babylon's going to be destroyed. Yet leave the stump and its roots in the earth, right? That's the deadly wound that's healed. Even with a band of iron and copper in the grass of the field, right? That's the fourth beast. And let him be wet with the dew of the heavens, and his lot be with the beast of the field until seven times pass over him, right? So, you know, Yahweh works in sevens. So are we in the middle of this seven? Or are we coming to the middle of the seven? We're not sure. But it's interesting that it says seven times passing over. This is the meaning, O king, and this is the degree of the Most High, which has come on my master, the king. And you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be fed with grass like oxen, and you shall be wet with dew of the heavens, and 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High is ruler in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whoever he desires, right? So, wow, I can think of President Trump here, you know, with his arrogance and his, you know, he's done all this, and if it wasn't for him, and he's, you know, made NATO great, and he's made this one great. And it's saying, because of your pride, you're going down. And in that day, they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots. Your kingdom will be enduring to you after you have realized that heaven rules. So, O king, let my advice be pleasing to you. Even break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by pitying the poor, whether there will be duration to your prosperity. You know, and this is, I think, a message to everybody, but particularly here, this is the king of Babylon. This is a message to President Trump. So far, he's not heeding it, but there's still time. And this came on the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And it's kind of interesting, you know, that President Trump's coming up on his first year anniversary, 12 months being in office now. So, and he... definitely, you could see he has some form of dementia. He's having health problems. Is this getting ready to be fulfilled? Only Yahweh knows. So this came on the king. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spoke and said, "Is this not great Babylon that I've built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Wow. If that isn't Donald Trump speaking, I don't know who is. The word was still in the king's mouth when a voice fell from the heavens saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, or O King President Trump, to you it's been declared the kingdom has been taken from you, and you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling will be like the beasts of the field, and you shall be fed with the grass like oxen, until seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High is ruler in the kingdom of men, and that he gives it to whoever he desires. In that moment, the thing was fulfilled on Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and he ate the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heavens, until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And I don't know if you notice, in President Trump's second term, his hair is really wild. I mean, it doesn't look like he's cutting it. It's wild. It's all over the place. And here it is, the same thing was prophesied for Nebuchadnezzar. So, the head of gold must shatter for the world government and the anti-Messiah to rise. And that's why, like I said, what's going on now is extremely important, because it is bringing about the rise of the fourth beast and the rise of the anti-Messiah. Last scripture to go into here, Revelation 19. Because it is, like I said, it is a scary time. It's a scary time to live. It's a scary time to think about this. But what we want to think about is not so much what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 to 7, 8 years. We want to think about what's going to happen for eternity. So Revelation 19, 20 and 21, it says, "And the beast was seized, and with this one the false prophet, doing signs before it, by which he led astray those having received the mark of the beast and those worshipping its image. The two were thrown alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword of the one sitting on the horse," talking about Yeshua, "the sword having gone forth from his mouth, and all the birds were filled from their flesh." So this is the, you know, the great war that's coming when Yeshua returns, and he's coming back to fight the armies of the earth. And like we see in the book of Zechariah 14, you know, their eyeballs will melt in their sockets, and they're certainly not going to win that. And then Revelation 20, continuing here, 1 through 3 says, "And I saw a cherub coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So Satan can be bound, he can be chained, and he's got to follow what Yahweh does. "And threw him into the abyss and shut him up and put a seal over him, that he should not still lead astray the nations until the 1,000 years are fulfilled. And after these things, he must be set loose a little time." So is this some kind of black hole that's out there? Could be that he's stuck in and can't get out. But one thing is sure, he will not be there for that 1,000 years. And he'll be chained. And then in verse 10, "And the devil, leading them astray, was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they were tormented day and night for ages to ages." So we see that also Satan is going to go into the lake of fire and in the end be no more. So it is sober, exciting, and numbing to a degree to live in these times we're living in. And not to just be, like I said, this is written 2,000 years ago. And, you know, brethren have been reading the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, for thousands of years, understanding some, not understanding some, because it was sealed until the time of the end. But here we are. We are that end time generation, and we're living it, we're seeing it. And that's why, like I said, the most important thing that we have to come from this is, yes, is there going to be a horrible war coming, and then a beast power that's going to come out of that, where it's going to be a, you know, like I said, a very, very tough time, and a famine and death and all these things happening, of course. But what we need to do is show Yahweh now. Not when that happens. Not when we lose everything. Not when you're in a prison somewhere. Not when there's nothing else to lose, and to say, "Oh, Yahweh, I'll sacrifice everything for you," because there'll be nothing to sacrifice at that point. And even your life won't be in your own hands. But now is the time. Now is the time to say to Yahweh, "Yahweh, I want to serve you with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength," and mean it. Actually do something. Every single baptized believer should have a ministry. It's that simple. You know, you should have a ministry, and you should be bearing fruit for the kingdom of Yahweh. And this is what it's all about. It's about, which kingdom are you living for? Are you living for the kingdom of commercial Babylon, or are you living for the kingdom of Yahweh? So praise Yahweh that he's given us eyes to see and ears to hear and to understand. And I pray that each and every one of you that's listening to this will be working on getting your garments white and getting ready for that day. The time is moving fast. We only have 2 months till Passover, believe it or not. Wow. So we need to redeem the time, because the days are evil. And until next time, Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.